Tom's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Hello, Tom. Oh, hold on. I got to hit this again. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I am tremendous, Dale. How are you? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Thomas.
I got to give credit where credit is due, man. You put some work into this big column that came out yesterday. A throw-by-throw analysis of Tom Brady's entire game on Sunday. We'll get into more specifics, but in general, what letter grade would you have given Brady's game on Sunday?
C. When you watched it, it wasn't as bad. A C to even a C+, because when he did have the opportunity to make throws, he made throws. It's just those opportunities were few and far between. But it certainly wasn't an F, which I think was the resounding opinion of folks, both media and fans. And mine was probably closer to a D before I sat there and watched every one of the 43 dropbacks.
Now, one of the things that I feel like the national media has really jumped onto is arm strength. Is that a problem at all for him? Because I know he's never been known for having the strongest arm in the league, and it hasn't been a problem for him. Is that something you've noticed at all, or is it a bunch of other things?
It's a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
It wasn't exhibited as badly as I thought it was on Sunday. For instance, the one throw that really bugged me in terms of strength was the downfield throw to Gordon, in which on first watch it looked like he underthrew him by 15 yards. And it looked to me, look, he's not trying to underthrow him and get rid of it, as Dan Fouts said. He was trying to deliver it. But then when I watched it and watched it back and then with the coaches film and everything else, what happened was Gordon was basically the only guy out on the route. He's running down the numbers one-on-one. He's got inside leverage on the left-hand side. And there's a safety that's coming over. So Brady, flat-footed plenty of time on one of the rare occasions, kind of gave him the thumb. Go that way. Meaning go to the right. Cut across the face of the safety who's approaching. And you'll have nothing but, 30 yards of space to work in, and I can throw it out there. Gordon didn't see it. And my feeling is that Brady just threw it where he wanted him to be. So, but there were other throws, too. The two throws to Gordon on the sideline on which he slipped and the other one that went through his hands, both of those were insanely high. And I had an argument as to whether or not they were catchable anyway. They shouldn't be that high. That looked like footwork to me on Brady's part. And the throw to James White, this was the other egregious one I thought on first watch. James White, the second drive, coming off the right edge, right boundary, into the middle, and Brady threw it behind him. Like, well, how the hell do you do that? Well, you do that because Marcus Cannon gets pushed like a shopping cart into your front door.
When you watched and broke down every single play, did it appear to you, as it has to us, that he just doesn't even look at Chris Hogan most of the time?
Yes. He does not get to his – he doesn't get to his second read. And I remember doing a story similar to this in 2014 – prior to the Kansas City game. It was after the Raiders game. It was, remember that game? I think it was 13-9, ugly game. It was only one touchdown. The rest was all field goals. And Brady was getting beat up. There was a key interception by Vince Wilfork in that game. And I looked at every throw because there was, at that time as well, Brady's ill. People have to remember that Kansas City game when we asked the question, he played like ass prior to that as well. And that, too, was protection. He wasn't getting to his second read. Chris Hogan, to me, is a complimentary player. He's a player that guys forget about defensively, or he needs a while to separate. It's not a huge slight on him, but on occasions when Brady won't have the time to get to Chris Hogan, he's not even going to bother. Zach Cox from Nesson is a good kid, and he knows what he's looking at. Put up on Twitter the fourth down play, Brady's last throw of the day, where he went to Edelman in the middle instead of Hogan down the sideline, who was coming clear. If I'm Brady and it's fourth and six and I'm not going to have much time, I'm going to go to Edelman too. I'm not going to look for Chris Hogan down the sideline in what's probably a less high percentage throw.
You probably saw the same screen grab we did, though, of the one play where Hogan was lined up wide right and literally there wasn't a defensive player within 20 yards of him.
Yep.
I mean, now the Tom Brady I've watched through the years is going to know, hey, you know what? I got a pretty good matchup over there. Maybe I don't need to go to Chris Hogan with my second or third read. Maybe that should be my first read.
Him right now.
You're right.
I talked to Phil Perry about this a lot because we all see the same things. And I think when you're there and you have the access, you try and glean things from what you see about interactions. Like, for instance, does Brady now hate Chris Hogan? Well, in talking to Philly, he's like, look, I see him in the locker room talking to each other and they're joking around. I mean, it's that small window where you look at, and it seems like, okay, they don't hate each other, but as Phil pointed out, if you're Chris Hogan, you're in a contract year. You got twin kids at home you just had. This is costing you money.
Mm.
So I don't blame him for being frustrated if he's open and the ball's not getting there. And again, I talked to Mayo about this for Quick Slants last night, and he said this is the kind of self-scouting stuff that if you're Ernie Adams and his staff, you cut all of these plays together on which Chris Hogan appears to be open, and you say, Tom, this is what we're seeing. And I said, wouldn't they have done that earlier? He said, they could have, but you're so into the next game that you're game plan oriented. This is the week that they should really be up to their eyeballs and trying to say, these are the things we're missing on.
Do you think if it was up to Tom Brady, would he rather have this year's backs, receivers, and tight ends or last year's backs, receivers, tight ends?
Last year's in a walk.
Hmm.
Even without Edelman.
That's what I was
going to
say, even without Edelman, yeah.
You'll have Amendola. You'll have a full-speed Gronkowski. You'll have Deion Lewis, who's a machine in terms of production, James White still being James White and not having to be the hub of the offense, which he's been. And Brandon Cooks, who can, you know, we'll add it all up at the end, and it's not a fair fight because Gordon got here a little bit later, but Brandon Cooks is going to end up, you know, for all his limitations, he was at, 72 catches, 1,100 yards, plus another 200 in pass interferences.
Right.
I mean, that was a big decision to move him when the other pieces were going out.
As we sit here right now, as far as quarterback rating is concerned, Tom Brady is 16th in the league. Dead flat middle of the National Football League among quarterbacks. That's not Tom Brady. How much of that is his responsibility? How much of that is other factors?
Good question. You have to say that the buck stops with the guy who releases the football. So I don't want to absolve him too much, but I would say it's 33% on each of them. 33% on the people around him and injuries. 33%, and it all goes back to injuries. I mean, the tackles were embarrassing the other day. And even on the plays where they lost you. So 33% all the way around. What could Brady prevent if he were maybe a little more mobile? He might be inclined to extend a play a little bit longer to make the throw. But I also know that the Tom Brady who people say, oh, he's seeing ghosts, is also the Tom Brady that they would never say that about in January or late December or in a pivotal game. When Tom Brady decides to get rid of the ball on a regular basis before he takes a beating, those are games that he says, you know what, do I want to have a bruised sternum for the next 5 weeks because I decided to extend a 3rd and 4 against Mike Vrabel's defense in November? We don't want to get the thing out of here. And there were a few throws like that, especially the 3rd down throws down the sidelines to Gordon. Those, to me, were the on Brady decision-making throws. He's like, screw this. Look, I'm not going to throw it to all them. I'll throw it to the guy who might be able to win a 50-50 ball.
Now, we know that Brady's talked about playing till he's 45. He's talked about that a bunch of times. But he's also said if he's not good anymore, he doesn't want to play. And a 94 or 95 quarterback rating most years is really good. Like, it's in the top 3 to 5 every single year. But this year, if you're comparing him to, like Dale said, to the other quarterbacks in the league, like 100 is the new 90. You have guys that are like 120. It's just off the charts. If the season finishes something like this, and let's say it's not a Super Bowl appearance, do you think he feels like he's still locked in and is going to be coming back the next year?
1,000%. Because I think if you took Jared Goff and plopped him down in Foxborough and said, do damage, he'd be screwed.
Hmm.
And that's not even talking about the institutional knowledge. If you took Pat Mahomes and brought him in and said, do this, have a day. Or even better, an even more fair fight, Drew Brees. Say, come on out and play in the elements. That's a whole
right.
different conversation.
Yeah, good luck.
But it really hasn't been an element-oriented year yet for Brady. But look, if you flipped him, what would Brady be? He would be what Brees is doing. And that's why Brady is going to look at it and say, it wasn't a fair fight, or it hasn't been so far. Give him Shaq Mason. Give him Gronk at what Gronk should be. Give him Sony Michel, not just coming off the injury. Give him Trent Brown without diarrhea. And give him Marcus Cannon with what, you know, appears to be both working arms and and then we'll talk about it. But I just don't think that a team that wins six straight games and loses this past week, mm-hmm. to a team that does have similarities to both Detroit and Jacksonville in that they're not afraid of the Patriots, I would tamp it down. And I should have tamped it down. When I put out the tweet the other day, Dale, saying that, look, I've seen a higher number of throws from Tom Brady today that have no real chance of being completed than I usually do or maybe ever, I needed to wait because I have to understand people are going to seize on that and say, Cliff, decline is here. What was the fine print to it? And I looked at the fine print. When you look at some of the throws that Brady did make, especially the stuff over the middle with high velocity, accurate as hell, that were dropped by Jacob Hollister or Josh Gordon, the recipe changes as well.
Rich and I have had this disagreement over the last couple of weeks. Your assessment, I know that we disagree about something.
Shocking.
What's your assessment of how Josh Gordon has performed with the Patriots?
It's been well better than expected. But they're bumping up against some of the limitations that you're going to encounter when he becomes a centerpiece of your offense. He should still be more complimentary, and they're relying on him as a centerpiece.
Sounds like Keith won, Dale nothing, Tom. Thank
Keith
you for
wins.
That. Thank you.
What do you think?
I think he's been good. I think he, if you expect him to come in and be the number one target on the team, then that I think is unrealistic. I thought he was going to come in here, you know, maybe an extra touchdown or two, but I thought this was pretty much what it was going to be. He's had a couple of drops, which are unfortunate, but that
I thought he was going to catch the ball better.
I think he's been pretty good.
That's a new habit of his.
Well, do you,
he was unbelievable early on.
Do you cut him any slack for all the finger problems that he's got? It's going to be hard to catch with your hands when you have broken fingers or dislocated fingers.
Temporarily, I'm going to.
Okay.
Because, you know, Dale, don't you agree, Dale, that he was ridiculous with the snap catching early on?
Michael Irvin was talking to us about that and talking about his ability to catch those slant passes with his fingertips and how hard it is. And then I saw him stop catching the ball.
Yeah, and the fingers, I think, have to be involved. So whatever he has to do, I don't care if he has to titanium, whatever. It's time for him. He's at the juncture in his career where he can't be somebody that the Patriots have to go away from. I mean, he's making set. It all comes back to business. I mentioned it with Hogan. We're going to talk about it over the course of several months with Gronkowski. It comes back to it with Gordon. He's making $700,000 this year. He's too talented to leave the NFL with his pockets turned inside out and say, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 50 years before hopefully 60, 70 years before I'm underground. But I didn't make any of the money that I could have made when I was in the NFL. So he's got to make sure that whatever he can do, if financial security for himself and little Gordon's down the road is important, that he maximizes now.
Nice job on the deep dive. It was fun
to
read. And we appreciate the time as always.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
See ya. Thanks, Tom.